It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Well, we're excited to be here. This is the Internet Advisor Show. This is Gary Baker, Foster Brown, Ed Riddell will be here, and we have a great group of people that are going to be talking. We get an extra hour today, so we'll have 3 hours here on our flagship station at WJR.
Welcome once again to the Internet Advisor. My turn to say hello to you, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell in-house, and a whole bunch of people for a super-sized show. Gary, good, so good to be here with you.
It's great, really great to have you here.
And I see that you brought a celebrity with you.
I did, yes. We have, I have my son here. Usually it's my daughter, but my son came today, and he's going to talk to us about crowdfunding.
That is going to be great. I am very excited, but that will be in our second hour. We've got a three-hour show today, folks, and this first hour, I am really looking forward to, among other things, because it's going to be all about the future of computing in a big way, because we're going to have Dave Sawyer with us.
And we've had Dave here many times.
Many times. Before. Dave, so welcome aboard. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I love to be here.
It's always fun to have you in here. We're going to be talking about Windows.
Bring toys. Yeah.
He brings toys. Indeed, he does. He's going to be bringing in some. We're going to be talking about Windows 8.1, which will officially be ready for. It's launching on the 26th, am I right?
The preview will be available for people to try on the 26th,
That's
and it will be out later this year.
That's right. But we're going to be talking about some of the things that are changing in the Windows world, Windows 8. And I think that's the big thing. People have been looking for a lot of changes, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe some of the devices that are coming out as well. We also have Mike Amon with us. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great.
It's always fun to have you in studio with us. You are from the left coast, out there on Silicon Valley.
I am. San Joaquin Valley.
The San Joaquin Valley.
Part of Silicon Valley now.
Yeah, what isn't?
They just moved it. It's a geographical move.
Yeah, no. I've been threatening to open an office in Silicon Valley to help you guys sort of monitor technology for
I love
your
it.
Show. Yeah,
and you've done it through. I love getting the updates through
LinkedIn. Yeah,
that has been wonderful. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things you're seeing at kind of the cutting edge, and that's why I thought that the two topics would really fit well together, because Microsoft was 146 million Microsoft PCs out there that will be upgrading in sometime in the, I thought I saw that figure, in the near future.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people already move to Windows 8, and we've sold a lot of copies of Windows 8 already. But mm-hmm. of course, we're also excited, at least I am, that we're ending support for Windows XP coming up next year. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that now is the time
Why
for
Why are
everybody.
You excited about ending support?
I'm very excited because we've had XP around for a long time, still some of those diehards that have that and they're running it. I'd like to see them move to something more current.
Okay, now that, and let's talk a little bit about that during the show, because and this hour pretty much is going to be that, because a lot of our listeners are still on XP. A lot of them have boxes that are 5 or 6 years old. And I think it's because we tend to have a little older audience mm-hmm. who have the value of hanging on to things. Younger audiences, I think, probably would turn it over a little more quickly.
Well, they want the new technology.
And, the older folks want what safely works for them. And that's the real challenge of getting from that place where this thing just works for me to a place where you actually can get a lot of benefit out of Windows 8.
Oh, yeah. Things have changed a lot since 2002 when we actually released Windows XP. So it's been quite a few years now.
A long time, yeah.
A long time.
So my wife just recently moved to Windows 8, and there was a deal cut at our house because there is a young man, 14 years old, who loves Windows 8, or at least adapted to it very quickly. And we basically said, Justin, can you help your mom make sure that she can learn Windows 8 without a whole lot of stress, like trying to find the start button and whatnot? And Justin, she's been a pretty good student, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does she listen to you?
Yeah, it's not that hard to teach her, really.
Okay, good.
Now, Justin, just kind of quickly, you're 14, right? Okay,
yeah.
So you're in that crowd of young guys who are up on technology. What was the reaction when you walked in with the Windows 8, you know, laptop, I think you had, right? A laptop?
And yeah, everybody.
A lot of your other guys were what, running? What were they running? Macs?
Yeah, most people at my school have Macs, and my computer's a touchscreen, so everybody thought that was really cool. And the Windows 8 setup is cool for, like, kids my age.
So the touchscreen was really cool? They really were able to lock on to that?
Yeah.
They liked that idea? And then what was the other thing you said? I'm sorry.
Microsoft apps are a little bit different than Apple, but the setup that Windows 8 has on the homepage is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have, like, all ESPN apps and stuff like that.
Okay, so they saw that, and what was their reaction then?
They thought that was cool.
did they want to trade you their MacBook Airs?
Yeah, one of my friends actually said that he would trade.
And you said?
No.
And that Windows 8 box was, it's an Ultra book, so it's very thin, very cool, very sleek, and it's half the price of the MacBook Air.
Whoa.
And he still wouldn't trade it.
Now, what was the learning curve like for you? Because you went from using, like, Windows 7, right?
Am I
right?
Yeah.
To this. What was it like for you?
At first, it was kind of hard to even get it open because you had to drag from the bottom to the top.
Getting used to those gestures of dragging and things like that?
So it was hard at first, but it was really easy.
Once you could see something on the screen, then it started getting easier.
Yeah.
I'm curious. When you boot the machine up, do you go into the Metro page with the different tiles on it, or do you go right into the desktop?
No, most of the time I'm on the Metro page.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah. I have. You can put the Google Chrome page on your desktop, but I keep it as an app just because I like it better.
That's an app on the tiled page, right?
Yeah.
The UI, what they call it, Metro. I can't call it Metro, but it is.
New style. You could call it new style.
Or new style. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Microsoft does not want us
modern,
to use this.
Yes. Modern user interface would be
term. Yep. Yeah. MUI instead of GUI. Well, folks, that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, about Windows 8.1 that's coming up, that upgrade, and we're talking with Mike Amon about some of the future things that he's seeing going on in technology as well. This is just the first hour. We got two more after this, so stick around for the Internet Advisor Superside. Welcome back. It's the beginning of a special hour of the Internet Advisor. Some of you may be used to hearing other programs at this time. They've been shifted a little bit, and we have a three-hour supersized show.
This is a prequel.
This is one of my fun parts of the show, is we were putting this together, because we've got... go ahead, Eddie.
Well, I was going to wait for the Minecraft thing that's coming.
Oh, that's coming. Yeah. I would get a little teaser to this. We're going to be doing a special on Minecraft, this game. Justin, do you play Minecraft? Do you know people who do?
I know people who do, but I don't myself.
Okay. It's for a little younger set than you, I think, in some ways.
No way. No,
okay.
I have guys that I work with that range from the age of 33 to 50, and it devours their evenings.
It does. It does. And now my grandson is coming in the second hour. So you and he, Justin, are going to star in the second hour. We're going to talk about Minecraft, the game. Shane's coming in, Shane Hamlin. And then, Justin, we're going to be talking about a special project that you've got in Guatemala coming up there.
And
Kickstarter project as well. And
actually, it's Indiegogo.
Indiegogo, okay.
Yep.
That's right.
I used to listen to
them. Kickstarter kind of thing.
Right.
Crowdfunding, pardon me.
Crowdfunding.
Better crowdfunding.
Yep.
Anyway, that's second hour. Third hour will be questions. Let's get back here to the present, where we've got Dave Sawyer with us. He's the Microsoft Heartland, the technical director for the center that's based out of Ann Arbor. Am I right?
No.
Based in Southfield.
Southfield.
Yeah.
Southfield. I beg your pardon. It's Southfield, the Pacific Center.
Not everything cool is in it.
Oh, a little chauvinistic. Hey, and Mike, feel free. Mike Amon is with us. Mike, by the way, is president and CEO of San Joaquin Partnership. He's a Silicon Valley analyst and just kind of a visionary out there. I love him. Comes in because he always has got some wild things going.
Mike used to live here and actually was the director of the Washtenaw Development Council once upon a time when we first met a few years ago, and is now doing economic development out in California in San Joaquin Valley, which is now part of Silicon Valley.
It is. We're making it part of the greater Silicon Valley because we have a lot of commuters that go from the city of Tracy, one of my seven cities, into Silicon Valley every day.
Okay.
And so what we'd like to do is just grow some of the technology jobs in our valley.
That's really neat.
Yeah. But we were, you know, I've been down, I was here for a conference on technology-led economic development for the last couple days. And it really gave me a chance to get together with Gary and some of my other friends. And I realized all of a sudden that when I was here for 7 years, that I had, along with Gary, when we started our online technologies internet, I had two other businesses, a MEMS company, which is a bio device that measures pressure and sensing, and I work with ISIS in spinning them out of the University of Michigan, and then later worked as one of their vice presidents. And then I met with Polly Miller also, who's an accounting professional and tax person, and we had one of the first trading companies, online trading.
Wow.
Back in the days where you couldn't do it on your phone. You know?
What's kind of neat, Mike, is that you really are on the cutting edge of the use of technology. And Dave Sawyer, you're here with us with the cutting edge for Microsoft. And this is a huge move because Windows 8 came out and it was a massive change. A lot of complaining. A lot of complaining about
from
it.
From the old people.
And a lot of celebrating. But
the
naysayers are louder.
And to be, let's put this in framework. It is the next step.
Yeah, we had complaining before we released
exactly.
And complaining after we released it. So
complaining is nothing new here.
Right. Well, and a lot of people were complaining that it didn't come out sooner. This is exactly what they wanted. They just didn't come out soon enough.
It is in many ways a marriage between two kind of mediums. One is the tablet medium, touchscreen, smaller device. You want to have it very tactile.
Yeah, and you also want to display information. I think people are used to consuming information more on mobile devices now.
Yes.
And they're used to seeing more information feeding up to them. And that's kind of what we do on the start screen with the live tiles. You know, you mentioned ESPN and sports teams.
Right.
The idea of being able to pin your favorite sports team right to that page and get updates about them right off of that.
Much like the metaphor in the Windows Phone.
Yes.
Very much the same kind of live tiles, which I think is one of the brilliant, genius things. I'm seeing Android devices trying to imitate that because, and Apple right now is suffering in many ways because their home screen doesn't present that live information. Now, the other part of it, though, is you want the muscle, the traditional muscle of Microsoft, which has been its ability to run those legendary programs of Microsoft Office and all the rest of them back on the desktop. And you've got a lot of this. In other words, it's pretty much like, it looks like Windows 7 to a great extent, and it works faster, and it's cleaner in many ways.
Boots up nice and quickly, has good touch capabilities if you have a touch device, but you don't need a touch device to use it. As you can see, I have my Surface Pro, but I also have my big laptop, which I use. It's a powerhouse Dell laptop that I can go ahead and run virtual machines on and do really serious work. So, you know, the nice thing is that people also asked for extended battery life. So we found a lot of people carrying both. You know, some sort of lightweight tablet as well as a PC so that they could go ahead and do additional work. And for us, we've kind of blended those things together now. So you can choose the amount of power you want without having to give up your productivity applications.
Okay.
And you also get the extended battery life if you want that.
Okay. So. Important thing. Now, Windows 8.1 is going to be the first big. If it was XP, it would be XP SP1. Right, Surface Pack 1.
Yeah.
It, traditionally, I mean, that's kind of the way we've consumed it.
So, you know, that's one of the things that people think about is, okay, is this a Service Pack or is this something different? And it is something different. Normally, a Service Pack is a set of fixes.
Yeah.
This is actually a set of feature enhancements that
because fixes have been going on.
Yeah, we continue to go ahead and make updates to the operating system. Okay. When we determine something's wrong, we'll go ahead and patch that and correct that. Yeah,
just like you've always done and just like every other company.
Right, every other company.
Yes. Yeah. We even have accelerated that. If you have Windows applications, a developer can go ahead and make an update to the application.
Sure.
It shows in the store and you'd go ahead and get it updated. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at is, you know, we've had feedback from users that they would like to see some changes, that they think that there's some improvements that can happen.
Big ones. Let's start diving into them. What are some of the big ones that pop up first?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is the start. start screen, right? The idea of being able to go ahead and just like in Windows Phone, have bigger tiles for things where you'd like more of a deep view into that
information. You can tailor the size of the phone.
And, and smaller tiles where for stuff you're not going to use as often.
Right.
So they have that. There was this idea of, wow, you've taken away the start button.
Okay, we got to it. We got to the Holy Grail. So, I'm teasing. Yes.
You know what? That is so
I know, but
false.
Yes, you're right, and
it
the tech writers
so
have made
false.
A big blow up about it. But what is happening
because
now?
Because they're not very smart. All you have to do is, from the right of the screen, drag your finger over if it's a touch screen, or
There's
a Windows button. Yeah. It's even easier to use than the Start button.
Yeah.
Thank God Microsoft has done, again, you know, brought us up to date, right?
So what's happening with, is the Start button coming back?
Not in the way that people are thinking about where it takes you to a menu.
Would it be on the bottom left-hand side? So, it'd be something like that?
Yeah. So right now in a Windows 8 machine, if you go to the bottom left side with your mouse.
Justin, hold up yours so I can. So, by the way, folks, it's a little hard because we don't have it. Turn yours around, Justin, so I can see this. Oh, it's Start screen. There you go. Okay. There
Justin,
you go. So
Justin,
on that left-hand side, is there going to be a little icon down there like the old bubble used to be?
So no, when you go down there, you'll actually see a shortcut to the Start menu. You'll see a button that will look more like the Start button, so that you'll be able to go ahead and jump back to the Start screen.
So traditionally, when you hit that Start button, where does it take you then?
It takes you to the Start screen.
To the Start screen, which is the tiles.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is the tiles. So we're not going back to some sort of involved multi-level menuing structure off of the button. Because for us, that really isn't productive.
So when people, one of the things I know that people used to like with the Start button was you could get to the control panel or you could get to your programs and things like that.
Right.
How do you get to that?
I mean, those people are really the power users, and we actually have the perfect shortcut for them. And that is just to hold down the window and hit the X key, and it brings up a shortcut of all of the things you're going to want to do.
Folks, write that down right now. It's just the Windows key plus X, and it will bring up that traditional menu of the control panel and
Here's what it brings up for you. It brings up programs and features, the mobility center, power options, so you can go in and do that.
Event right
viewer,
straight from there.
System, device manager, all of the things that power users are going to want. Control panel, of course, command prompt, task manager, all of those things show up
Excellent.
In that quick menu right from the Windows X key.
So in many ways, folks, the functionality is still there.
Yes.
And it just, the shortcut is just hitting that magic key, which is the Windows key plus X, and boom, you're there.
It's just a matter of getting used to some things.
So let's talk about some of the other things that have been happening, and I have a kvetch that I want to share. A little complaint about the print functions in IE10, but we'll be back with that in just a moment. Dave Sawyer is with us from Microsoft, also Mike Amond, who is with us from California. We're going to be talking about some of the future things in computing as well. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell. Dave Sawyer is with us. He's the technical director for Microsoft here in the Heartland area. And we also have Mike Amond with us, who's the president and CEO of San Joaquin Partnership. And Mike, I wanted to invite you into the conversation as well as we're talking. I'm going to get some more from Dave a little bit about some of the changes coming to Windows 8.1, when people can be expected to kind of be able to play with that. We're going to put some videos up on our homepage as well, Dave, right?
So the idea was that for those people who don't have a Justin to show them how to do everything, what we have is actually, if you go to the Windows page, and I sent you a link, there's a lot of quick how-to videos that can walk you through customizing, personalization, a lot of the really neat advanced
features.
For
the new 8.1?
For 8.
Oh, for 8.
For 8. So,
now, I did see a video that was on YouTube, apparently, and on the weblog for Microsoft. I haven't got the link right now, but it was on YouTube, and it was one of the Microsoft engineers explaining some of the changes in 8.1.
Well, the only thing that we've done so far is we actually had our Tech Ed conference last week.
Right.
There was some demonstration of 8.1 there. And so that's probably what you're seeing is maybe snippets of that.
Okay.
There was a blog that we went through that basically talked about some of the improvements.
I think that may have been excellent,
And we did announce some basic things about the preview being available June 26th, and that the 8.1 would be out later this year. Okay. Didn't give a firm date yet.
The preview, what exactly is the preview then? Is it like a beta?
Exactly. The preview is just a thing for people who want to go ahead and experience what 8.1 is like before it actually comes out, it a test run.
And there's going to be refinements going on all along the way.
Yes, and the idea is that it would be available for people as an update from the store later this year.
Okay.
So
at some point, right, that beta will now, or the preview will go away. You'll have to upgrade to the real version because they won't.
For free, by the way, if you have Windows 8.
Yeah. Yes. So this is, you know, again, this is not a Windows 9. It's not a brand new version. No. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that this is a basically some feature enhancements that we're doing, mm-hmm. and it will be available for free for people who are on Windows 8.
So there's a Windows 9 in the works?
No. Well, I mean, there's always a new version of Windows in the works.
Okay.
I'm not announcing anything new right now.
Whether it's called that or not.
There's a ton of stuff. There's a ton of stuff coming up.
What I'm saying is it's not a new major version.
From your point of view, as a Windows user, okay, mm-hmm. what other things have you seen that will be significant changes for people as they use Windows 8.1?
Well, I mean, I think that for a lot of people, they are going to like the idea of resizing their tiles. They're going to like the idea of being able to customize that start screen and be able to have a background that shows through, a little bit more animation. Right. We will improve some of the applications. I haven't gone through and seen all of the stuff we're doing
Some of the basics like mail and people and photo?
Yeah, we've been improving those along the way.
Yes.
And we're going to continue to improve those with 8.1. Okay. So it's slated for some improvement there.
We had a little arm wrestling during the break, folks. We were talking about Windows IE, Internet Explorer 10. And on the desktop, it works like a charm. It's the great muscular Internet Explorer. On the Metro interface, it is rough.
It's geared for different things, too. So the one, the modern style IE that is there, it's a Windows 8 application. It's really meant to take away a lot of the interface on the side, right? It's basically to give you a browsing experience that's very touch-friendly. Mm-hmm. It also is meant to be kind of your go-to reference point when you want to get to something quickly and consume it, but not necessarily run ActiveX controls.
And Justin, you were telling us
or do add-ins, things like that.
When you're doing things, you work off of that Metro Pit with the tiles, right?
Yep.
That's where you primarily work.
Yeah, that's almost where I am all the time.
Okay. I did that for my wife, by the way. I put Windows 8 on her machine precisely so I could simplify what's presented. Because in the old days, you know, when you opened up that whole information tree, which was the desktop, there was an awful lot of stuff there. You could put shortcuts on your as well. What I liked about Windows 8 was that ability to give her a limited menu of things and say, Ginny, just hit that tile there, and it'll take you to your email and that brings your Facebook. So I like the ability. So do you do that, Justin? You limit the amount that you see there then rather than having everything in front of you?
I like to have a lot of apps in front of me.
Yeah, everything
I
open.
Scroll, like, because it's long, so I have to scroll in between them.
But the nice thing it sounds like with this new 8.1 is that you'll be able to resize those so that some of the ones that you use a lot but are just a click rather than updating information, you can move into one of those smaller boxes.
Yeah.
Like on the Windows Phone.
With the speed of his new laptop and the speed of Windows 8, and because of the way Justin works, if you watch him, you can't keep up. He's got his fingers going all over that screen, and things are moving all the time. It's pretty amazing.
So you have your hands on your computer, not necessarily the keyboard, but on the...
It's a touchscreen computer.
Yeah, very much. That's the interaction. Mike, I want to bring you into this because, you know, one of the things you do as a consultant out in San Joaquin is to help companies kind of look over the horizon to some extent at what's coming next. How do you see the kind of things that are happening with Windows fitting into this, what's been called the post-PC world? And I don't even know if that's an accurate way of talking about it because PCs, personal computers, are our phones, are our tablets. We're still in a PC world.
Well, it's interesting because they define, I think, PCs a lot of times as what you would consider that big desktop.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
the thing that catches the catch here.
Right, yeah. And so now when we see, like, as an example, the new Lenovo Tablet 2, which is this thin, very, very small machine, light, has a pen touch input, and 9 hours of battery life. They don't consider that a PC, even though it's running an Intel chip. It's running the next generation Atom.
Yeah.
And generation Atom. And it basically is a great Windows 8 device.
Looking over the horizon, what's your reflection on this? Because you're kind of help companies get that advantage of you.
You know, Foster, last time I called in, we were forecasting some things, and I forecasted sort of customized phones. And, of course, Windows has a phone.
Absolutely.
But I said, you know, you're going to see Facebook have a phone. You probably don't remember that.
That's right.
I think I
do.
Brought it up.
and so, you know, Yahoo or Google has a phone, Yahoo hasn't yet. And so I kind of forecasted that. And, of course, it came out, and it hasn't haven't done too well. So
no.
You don't always want to believe what I'm talking about, but it's good to listen to me because you might not choose that way to go.
But Mike, we were talking last night when you came in that wearable computers. I mean, is that where we're heading? We're not... The tablets, is that really something that may go away eventually and we'll go to a whole different paradigm?
Yeah, I mean, wearable devices, it's going to show up. And everybody's being tantalized by Apple and some of the others. I think what's going to happen is in the healthcare area. What I'm seeing on the coast is everyone is wearing watches that are connected in one way or another to your health.
Your biometric, right?
Yeah, your biometrics.
Fit, I think, is one of them. Fit.
Yeah, and so whether it's to gauge your sleep or gauge your 10-miler run or what you're taking in from a food or beverage standpoint, I think we're all going to be wired to a device, more than likely like a wristwatch. Start looking at other sensors that would go along with the Google glasses.
Yes. Something that somewhere it's attached to your body so that it's picking up those pulses. That's interesting that the watch would be a... I stopped wearing a watch for a while, guys, just to be au courant.
Yeah, because your grandkids were teasing you.
Well, they were teasing me unmercifully about it. But the problem I have is I still have to dig the darn thing out of my shirt or someplace else that I got.
And that's why we were late today.
But you know, Foster, that's why the glasses work, because you don't have to dig it out.
Yes.
All you do is look up and blink, you know? And so we're still a ways from that, but it's going to happen. Everything is getting smaller and faster and having more storage device. And so you can tuck it away wherever you want, whether it's glasses.
We want less devices, because, I mean, Dave, in some ways, we get to the place where we have, you got your phone, you got your watch, you got your glasses, you got your laptop, you got your tablet.
You only want to consume information on a couple devices that you're going to carry with you. But the idea of having an internet of connected things that are low cost are suddenly very, very appealing to people. An instrument in
a
car.
An internet of connected things that are low cost. That's it. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So there's a local company. We actually just put a new demo in the technology center in Southfield, and we worked with a local company, GHI Electronics. They make these little boards that you can program with Visual Studio or Visual Studio Express. They're based on the .NET Micro Framework, which is an open source implementation of .NET. But you can connect all of these sensors to these boards. You can connect a gyroscope, a compass, a wireless card, a water detector. In our case, we connected a temperature and humidity sensor and a water sensor, and we're monitoring a houseplant. And then we're taking that data, we're collecting it, and we're actually sending it to Windows Azure, which we can then consume it on any device. Mm-hmm. And so,
Azure would be the cloud structure.
The cloud service that can hold that data, and then I can consume it from wherever. So, the nice thing is that so many kids learn to program, but they're learning on things that may not be as exciting as interacting with the real world. They're like, let me go do a web page or let me go do a form. And for a lot of people, that doesn't really capture their imagination. The nice thing about this is you're using Visual Studio Express and real programming tools to actually manipulate your world.
Wow.
And they have displays. And again, the boards are as inexpensive as $30 quantity
one.
If you're a student, you can download, or not a student, but you can download Visual Studio Express for free and use that. So it's a great way to get started with programming and to learn things.
So, Dave, we've been hearing about this Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. This is a thing, right? This is a connected device to the internet that's going to tell us some things, going to provide us some information.
Absolutely.
Let's do this when we come back. Dave, I want to talk a little bit about where Microsoft is kind of looking over the horizon at some things. And Mike, I want to talk about the whole notion of the cloud and how that's changing how we deal with stuff, that we don't necessarily carry it all with us. It's been entrusted to somebody in the cloud. Back with the Internet Advisor in our special first hour of 3 hours today. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell. And also some very special guests in studio, Dave Sawyer, who's the technical director for Microsoft here in the heartland. We usually enjoy his toys. We're talking about software, some big changes coming to Windows 8, Windows 8.1 preview. will be available starting on June 26th. You'll be able to download it, I believe, right? You said there's like an update you download?
Well, it'll be available then. I don't exactly know how you'll go about getting it, but the idea is there'll probably be a sign-up where you can say, hey, I want to participate in the preview, and it'll be offered to you.
And that's the idea, folks. It's a preview. Yeah. It's a beta. You get hands-on some of the first changes coming to Windows and Windows 8, and you get to see how that works and the ways it improves the ability, your ability to work. Mike Amon is also with us. Mike is the president and CEO of San Joaquin Partnership in the Silicon Valley, where he's an analyst out there. Mike, we were talking before, just kind of quickly, and I want to get back to Dave as well. You consult with companies trying to help them to get a leg up on what technology is doing and to improve their business and make them more competitive, et cetera. And so you're often looking over the horizon. Let's talk a little bit about the cloud. We mentioned that. That is something that's coming up all the time. You know, Apple's got it. Gmail's got it. Chrome's got it. SkyDrive with Microsoft right now. Dropbox, you name it. There's all sorts of places outside of our computers where you can store stuff. How is it affecting the way then that we're going to be using our computers in the future?
Well, I think that's the way you're going to be using all of your devices. You know, Gary talked about the Internet of Things, and recently I was at a cloud computing conference in Santa Clara, just across the street from my Silicon Valley office. And there's sort of a corporate view, and then there's your individuals out there. And it's in some conflict at the moment on how people go about having their data online. And in addition, we had another conference shortly after that, which was data centers, which support the cloud and the technology that's changing with the data centers, which support the cloud, mm-hmm. all those cloud companies that you right. just talked right. about. And so the more traditional companies have their own cloud, their own data center
right,
as such.
Right, right.
And then other people are now in the business of providing cloud services to as Microsoft, as Amazon, to users, corporates in a secure environment, as well as you and myself.
Right. It seems that what that means, and Dave, maybe from Microsoft's point of view, you can comment on this, that it means that our devices in many ways can be lighter. We used to talk about dumb terminals.
Yeah.
In corporations.
I worked on one.
Right, exactly. Where essentially you have a machine that doesn't have huge storage capacities because you're saving things elsewhere.
Right.
You can store stuff locally. But if I'm right wrong, Dave, Microsoft has set up now so you can essentially go to almost any computer and essentially have your own office show up wherever the computer happens to be.
Well, we have a number of really cool offerings. One, of course, is Office 365,
right.
which gets you basic access to email and also, if you want to, access to the newest version of Office.
Right. So you've got Word and you've got a PowerPoint and you've got spreadsheets and things like that are available to you.
The idea that you don't have to buy it for just one computer, you can subscribe to it.
And I don't have to have that huge storage. In other words, I can have a lighter device suddenly that's using all of these.
Yes. We actually have another offering called SkyDrive. People with a Microsoft account get 7 gigabytes of storage for free. And then if you want to, you can add additional storage to that and pay for that storage.
I just saw something on a preview, on that preview about 8.1 Windows. And this is interesting, Mike, that the option you will have now when you save is you'll be able to save to SkyDrive. Or to your desktop.
Right. Well, in Windows, in Windows 8, we're actually making that one of the selections more often.
Exactly.
There's a SkyDrive app in Windows 8.
Yep.
There's also a SkyDrive desktop app that you can download that actually adds SkyDrive right into your favorites in Explorer.
It's kind of what Dropbox does, the same thing. Yeah. For people who are familiar with that, where you put it into that folder and it syncs.
Yeah, and it syncs right
it
up
syncs
there.
Right
so
up
we
there.
Have that.
Those are so what that seems to be saying is then that the devices that we have can become smaller, lighter. They can be in lots of different places because we don't have to have all that capability with us.
Well, we do have the ability to do offline, too, like you mentioned, syncing. So the idea is, you know, one of the nice things, the new solid-state drives are really fast to boot up. You can have a reasonable amount of storage, 64, 128, 256 gigabytes of storage, but also have access to files across multiple devices. The cloud enables really kind of that portability where I have a big device if I need to do massive photo editing and horsepower video editing maybe, and maybe I have a small portable device I take with me when I'm going to a conference so I can take my notes, or if I'm going to a meeting.
Or I'm sitting on the couch and I want to read from my email and something that's larger than the small screens in my eyes are failing.
Yes.
I need a bigger type. Mm-hmm. And I've been using an iPad for that, but you could use almost any one of the devices out there to do that kind of thing. So it really becomes a utility, doesn't it, Mike? It almost like it's
well,
become this...
unfortunately, I dropped a phone the other day and I broke the glass. But I just walk in and get a new phone, and then everything comes down from the cloud. So that's where we're at, and that's where you want to be, really. And, yes, as Dave said, you can save it to the desktop, and you can work on a larger device as such. But that's just common practice for me, and it's been that way for quite a while. So I think you're going to see people migrate that way.
Mike, you're working on a the XP Pro? I'm not on XP, pardon me. Windows 8, tell me, which one is that?
No, this is an iPad.
So that's an iPad. I'm sorry, Dave. You brought one in before. What's the Surface? I'm sorry. There you go.
He's
the
Surface right next over
to
there. Yeah. And I a friend of mine who works in government has the new Surface Pro, and we've talked about those in the past.
And have you found, Dave, that you can travel and work effectively with the Surface Pro without having to have like you have a bigger laptop in front of you?
I do. This is my work laptop, but when I had to spend my own money. This is my own personal Surface Pro. So I really voted with my head, my own money. I voted to get my small portable Surface Pro.
I got to give you a little hors d'oeuvre. Mike, would you talk about the Domino pizza delivery? This extension, this is kind of fun. Go ahead and talk about it because it'll feed into the next hour.
Well, okay. So we talk about the Internet of Things, and one of the things that's going to be controlled in the future through the Internet is drones. And drones have been, is a big trend right now. And just recently, a friend of mine who knows that I'm looking out there at technology and drones sent me, and it was just funny because I was here in Ann Arbor, and Tom Monahan, another entrepreneur, great entrepreneur from Michigan, and Domino's, and we were just a couple miles from that at the university at this tech ed conference, and here is the Domini copter, which is delivering pizzas by drone.
And they're testing this right now.
Yeah, in the UK, one of the franchisees is actually got that going.
So can you imagine if you're a kid in your upstairs bedroom and you order a pizza, you can actually have it delivered to your window
You open the window, you take the pizza, you're done. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, you would want to be the first person in Ann Arbor to have your pizza delivered that way. Well, this technology, as much fun as it is, has a very practical application. Matter of fact, in the second hour, we're going to be talking with Justin about a project that's going to be going on in Guatemala where this is very serious about delivering medical supplies and technology to places that can't get it right now. And you can't even get a burro back in there. So we're going to talk about it in the second hour. Dave, thank you so much for being with us. I want those videos. I'll post them up here so people can get some hands-on with some of the aspects of this new Windows 8.1 coming up.
And even though we don't have drones, Domino's just released their Windows 8 phone app this week. So you can now go ahead and order from your Windows 8 phone if you wanted to.
I love it. Dave Sawyer, thanks so much for being here. It's always fun. Folks, stick around. We got another hour coming up. We're going to be talking about Minecraft. This game is taking over the world. And also about delivering technology to the jungles of Guatemala. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast.